Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 167 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm tired. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hi, tired.
Thank you. C-Kohler.
Wake up.
No. And recording in a cave on a tin pan, it's Zonic.
Insert witty greeting here.
Everyone is tired tonight, so we're going to bang through this because not a lot happened this week. So let's start with Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super episode 127, The Approaching Wall, Hope Placed in a Final Barrier. In this episode, more fighting and Jiren's terrible backstory.
I don't think it was all of his backstory, though.
Really? Because it kind of seemed like all of it.
They did the thing about his master being killed.
Yep.
An unbelievably lame backstory. So lame that they didn't even bother to give the villain a name.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Well, until we meet him in Dragon Ball Super 2.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean,
but he was just bad guy. A villain attacked the village.
Yes, what would possibly drive Jiren to become so strong? Village killed. Friends killed. Mad.
Well,
now he's
strong.
Okay.
I'm going to be real. It makes way more sense than, anyone else's backstory in this series.
That's the joke, though.
Yeah.
Nobody else has a backstory.
Or... Some people have very similar backstories, but are not Jiren. Like, nobody has his level.
Fair enough. I mean, it's sort of weird that, like, they went for the One Piece backstory, but then they completely flubbed it on every single level.
That's not a surprise at all.
No, it's really not.
Anyway, other than that, it's Dragon Ball Super. You know what that means. Punching at bad frame rates.
Also, Frieza jobbed.
Oh, yeah. that was real good when Frieza jumped in to be like, fuck you, I'm still Frieza. And Jiren's like, bye.
He was like in and out in like a minute.
Yep. Zonic, you got anything about Super?
Not really, no. I'm kind of just... wait for this to end so we know what's replacing it. I guess the only other thing to mention is 17 is dead. Totally.
Oh, yeah, real. That did happen.
Oh, yeah, he's totally dead. Like, he's
totally
not
dead.
Coming back.
And there's a specific reason I forgot that he dies in this episode.
Because it doesn't take?
Because it doesn't take.
They never found the body.
They never found the body. He's
you don't
gone.
See the... If you don't see the body, he's still there. That's how it works.
That's what happened with Frieza.
Yep. And he keeps getting killed like that, and he keeps coming back anyway. Oh, he also got killed again this episode.
Who, Frieza?
But not really.
Yeah, but his soul died.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah.
No body, no death. That's like the one rule of everything.
Anyway, Genlock?
Sure.
I mean, I thought, Super had some cool fighting and action pieces and all that, but
yeah,
whatever.
But what are we going to talk? How can we talk about it? That's the thing. It's like, we're not Jeff and Dan. We're not going to point out every single instance of the double axe handle.
Yes. I mean, we don't have the video, so we can't go, oh, that bit right there was freaking awesome.
Oh, we gotta talk about how the dub absolutely ruined Jiren's character because they changed one specific line.
What is he talking about, dragons? I'm an idiot and I don't know what dragons are. What could they be referring? Why would Jiren be talking about dragons? Is he talking about the Dragon Balls? Why did you say Dragon Balls? I'm a gibbering moron.
And moving on.
Genlock. Genlock episode 6, The Only Me I Know. In this episode, yes, Chase, you are just a copy, and the one in the creepy evil robot is the original you.
And yeah, I'm calling bullshit.
Okay.
You know, I would say him being a copy might explain his utterly bland personality.
No, we know it was like that before that.
Yeah,
we saw him before that.
Yeah, he was pretty much always that way.
He was always boring.
But that montage had some cool cinematography that was totally wasted on the scene.
I mean, what else is new?
Yep.
Yeah, it was okay. Although my favorite part of that montage is that they show a box in the background where they store the cyber brains, and it had big words on it that said, "Caution, electronic brain."
Oh, God.
That's pretty good.
I love they called it an electronic brain. What is this, the 1940s?
Yes.
Caution, cyber brain.
See, that cyber brain would be better.
Yeah, exactly.
Digital brain is okay, too.
Electronic brain is what they used to call calculators.
Yeah. Like, I've got the electronic brain now. It's the size of an entire room.
Look, and it takes with numbers.
It takes 3 hours for it to do 2 + 2, but it can do it.
God, old computers being very large is extremely funny.
And very slow, and you can't actually read what they say because it's a punch card.
Yeah, you get tape if you're lucky. So, yeah, it looks like Doctor Who is dead.
Oh, please, he's not dead.
He definitely also uploaded his brain.
Yes, agreed, yeah. 100%. I mean, come on. I'd wage 75% chance that robot that's never talked is actually a copy of him.
No.
100% chance.
Wait, why not?
Because also he's been talking to the robot like, I'm gonna make you talk entirely in Rodgers and Hammerstein.
That's that hologram.
That's the other robot.
I'm talking about the robot that never talks, the one that looks like C-3PO without skin.
I legitimately have no idea what you're talking about.
It's the one that was pushing Chase's body out.
Yeah,
at the end
I know
of the
that
episode.
One, but also, what right. about that? Oh, that not that other one that's up there in the control room.
No, not that one.
No.
This is like me and the person with the blue hair from Black Clover.
Yeah. Regardless, yes, definitely he's been copied. Either that or David Tennant was like, I'm out. I don't know.
We could only afford David Tennant for 6 episodes.
That makes sense. He is very expensive.
And the secret is we could also only afford everyone else for 8 episodes. And never again.
Only other things of note, a couple of the characters did a mind meld where they were like dancing combat kind of thing.
Yeah. So the Union just kind of showed up, which is kind of what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they wander around when they show up, so it's not really that big a threat.
It's like, whoops, the giant spider tank is here now. Okay, how'd it get there? How'd they find the place?
I don't know, but they had like 3 hours to deal with it, so.
Yeah, and then they dealt with it, and then it just popped out some nanomachines, and I guess they win anyway. Why do they even have things other than the nanomachines? What the fuck is the Union? Seriously.
I don't know. None of this makes any sense.
My only thought is that maybe the big giant walker thing has the nanomachine cloud in it, and then they have to, like, get enough of the base broken to let the cloud inside. That's the best I can come up with. But you're right. Like, once everything was defeated and all that was left was the nanosmoke, it, like, defeated everyone in the base in, like, a second.
I'm sure they're all dead.
Yeah, and not, like, totally mind-controlled or something.
And not, like, they're just going to pop back up in the final episode, like, just kidding, we're okay.
Yeah, no, like, deadass, they're probably all mind-controlled right now, and that's, you know. Then they defeat the main robot thing that let the smoke out, and then the mind control done, and everything's back to normal.
But I thought it kills people. I
don't freaking know, but like, where did they get all the people walking or who just wander around randomly from?
It's just some country, you know.
I was presuming it was like some mind control bullshit.
People get killed by the nanomachines. They just get eaten.
I'm still...
I think you think they're like the Borg, and I don't think that's what's going on.
That would be more interesting if they were like the Borg.
I see, it's the thing where they want the nanomachines to kill people because they want all the infrastructure to remain behind intact.
And they just... nanomachines are very effective at, like, doing things. Like killing people, yep, or being a shield, yep, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nanomachines, son.
Yeah, I think they just use it like a tool, and yeah, that's it.
I legit thought it was like the Borg. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder how the Borg got made in this universe. And now I'm like, it's just another fucking country? That's boring.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If they end up revealing that, then they did a shitty job of building up to it.
Well, I mean, it would be a legitimately interesting development for once, you know? It would explain why they have to do the whole syncing with the robots thing, you know? Because right now, it's just kind of like, and they can't be inside the robots because reasons? It's not like they don't have, like, face masks for all the, you know, ground troops. We've legitimately seen them with, you know, the face masks. You know?
Also, I love that they do the inside the cockpit, like, shots, and it's like, I legitimately can't tell who this is.
Well, that's how it works.
Anyway, Genlock, still here. Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Please leave and immediately be replaced with Demon Slayer. Because that's probably it, right?
Yeah, most likely. Or, I mean, yeah. I know Demon Slayer had, like, a release date, which was weird, so...
Fall.
Oh, was it? I thought it had a date.
No.
It's close enough.
Alright, well, yeah.
End of September is close enough to fall.
Yeah.
In fact, that kind of is fall, but, you know. Anyway... Ohayou sekai, good morning world. Dr. Stone, episode 3, Weapons of Science. In this episode, oh shit, we woke up the Pillar Man. Quick, wake up your girlfriend and let's skedaddle.
Yeah, pretty much. They woke up the absolutely wrong person.
Yep, they really fucked up. You needed to punch a lion once, but now he's going to punch everyone.
Yeah. This was like the wrong person to wake up. Now you got to find a way to kill him.
Yep, and the answer is grab a gun.
Well, you know. Would it even still work?
No, there are no guns.
No, he has to invent guns.
That'll take too long. He'll kill them by then.
No, it'll take about 3 episodes.
Seriously? How did he do the metallurgy?
He's not really making a gun. He's the gun. Okay, I thought I explained this in the thread, but this show will do that where it's like, this is the goal, and then it'll like show like the characters holding something or doing something that is modern day, but they're just going to the basics of it. So not so much a gun, but the gunpowder. They're going to make gunpowder.
Oh, so they're just going to blow them up.
Kind of. Yeah, that's the plan. But once you have gunpowder, you can do other things with it, like make primitive weapons that like are like guns, but maybe not guns. Things like that. Or bombs. Things like that.
I presume they're going to use like bombs. Because, you know, I think it would be funnier than watching this guy tank a bullet.
I think he could definitely tank a bullet.
Yeah. 100%. Like, they could make a cannon out of a tree trunk, and he'd still probably tank the bullet.
Zonic, what did you think of this episode?
I'm pleased to see the comedic facial expressions are still very funny. I enjoyed that. But, so I've kept up with the manga. I have not seen the show because I kept thinking it was going to hit the block. I kind of forgot, not different, but how long it takes to kickstart the plot, if
yeah,
that makes
we,
sense.
We've got about two more episodes before the real what's normal begins.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of felt that this episode was like, all right, this is now spinning its wheels.
It feels like they got to get rid of this guy before they actually move on to anything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely the point where the author is slowly realizing, oh shit, this is not the way I need to go. I need to somehow throw all of this out and kind of restart it as superpower science.
He doesn't really throw everything out. The whole situation just changes for a while.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
it kind of feels like it doesn't work with this guy in the plot right now. So they kind of got to get rid of him.
Yeah. So anyway, they're all up looking. They go up to the mountain. They basically stage that they ran away, but they go up to look. They're looking for a certain spot where Senku believes he can find the ingredients to make gunpowder, and they end up finding the great Buddha statue, the bronze Buddha statue in Japan, which is
cool.
One of the very few things left standing because it's made of bronze and doesn't deteriorate like other metals.
And they will turn it into a gun.
The Buddha is a gun.
Oh, heavenly Buddha, save me. No.
Anyway, that's Dr. Stone. Fire Force. Fire Force, Episode 7. The investigation of the first commences. In this episode, let's go meet gnarly eyepatch dude and three dipshits and fan service girl.
Which one? You gotta be more specific.
Yeah, didn't we already have fan service girl?
No, this is the same one who gets groped all the time.
I thought we already met her.
Yes, that's the one here.
Wait, so I thought she was a member of Team 5.
Nope.
Yeah, I thought she was with what's his name.
No.
Okay.
Although I predict that she'll be around so much, you will also forget that.
Gotcha. So before we get there, though, we have to have our obligatory shower scene.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Why are we in the shower? I don't know.
Well, this is... Get ready, because this is the Lunami lewd hour, so we're going to have a little bit of it in this show and a little bit of that in the next show, too. But, yeah, so Hibana hangs out and takes a shower with them for no apparent reason. Then they get there, and there's this dude who walks up to them, and he says something like, "You are the crappiest bunch of craps that ever crapped a crap," or something like that.
Sounds
his
about
name,
right.
His name is Scanlation Man.
I'm going to be completely honest. I literally just got done watching this episode, and I don't remember any of it. It was boring.
Hey, Greg, did the redundant guy remind you of Franziska from the second Ace Attorney game?
Oh, God.
Nah, it's coming back to me a little bit.
Where she'd be like, "You foolish fools who foolishly do foolish things."
Yep. That's it. Okay, now I remember it. Anyway, one of these dudes is making infernals, so. Or maybe all of them.
Yeah, it's not clear. I get the impression that Company One might be the ultimate bad guy company.
Why are they the bad guy company though? Like, should there even be a bad guy company?
They're all here's the secret, B Dubs.
They're
except
all the
for
bad
the fifth,
guy.
They're all the bad guy company.
Yeah, that's I think all but the eighth and the fifth are bad, probably. Although, I mean, it's weird, we saw people from other companies. Like, there was one guy from like second company who was with them, who had, like, really big arms. I don't even remember what his ability was.
Oh.
It was to have really big arms.
And basically be contained entirely within a jacket.
Yeah, he was, like, kind of his whole... He was the one who, like, saw the girl who always falls down and gets groped. He saw her and, like, instantly fell in love with her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he fought the guy who could use his fire magic to make ice. And the way he explains it actually made sense to me, because it's basically how air conditioners work. You know, air conditioners heat up coils. They use the heat to generate cold. So he's basically doing something similar, where he's creating heat in such a way, using his, like, he has like a horn, like a musical instrument. And he uses...
We are already at the point where this thing has nothing to do with fire, but it's somehow
no,
a fire.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think you guys are reaching here. No, it totally makes sense. Yeah. He's using his heat magic with this coiled metal thing to create cold. And that's how a refrigerator works.
No, a refrigerator runs current through a thing and it uses Freon or whatever the hell it is.
No, they don't have to. No, they don't have to. Car conditioners don't have Freon in them anymore. They just use heat exchangers. And the heat exchangers does exactly that. It just basically makes heat. And
so this guy just carries around a heat exchanger?
Yeah, that's what that horn is that he holds. He's using a horn. Trust me, it makes sense. It's still magic, but it makes sense hypothetically that he's basically a walking refrigerator. And so that's how he's able to make the ice appear.
See.
It's not that he's just making ice. He's using heat to make ice.
No, okay, that's bullshit now. Like
I'm telling you, this is how air conditioners work.
Making ice specifically is bullshit. You need water to make ice.
He's freezing the air. And no, I mean, I think it's like it's so hot that it's making it so cold.
Okay, I'm stopping it right there with that phrase.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have Dr. Stone explain it to us, then we'll learn.
Meanwhile, in the much more scientifically accurate series, Dr. Stone.
Where people are turned to stone and they fix them with bat poop.
Yes, only people and sparrows, though. Nothing else. Yes, I remember almost nothing from this Fire Force episode.
Yeah, wait, how did that even work with Dr. Stone? It was the birds and the people that were turned into stone. And
I guess you're going to have to find out, B-Dubs.
It's a mystery, B-Dubs, a deliberate mystery.
All right, as long as it's going to get explained at some point.
Food Wars.
Oh, God.
Food Wars, Episode 10, The Supreme Reset. In this episode, Jackass with the bad voice gives his challenge, which is, I'm just going to fail all of you, mostly because I just shoved a bunch of garbage ingredients in there.
So this guy, is he the son of that Shinomiya guy?
Who? Oh, wait.
Kaguya.
Okay, no, who was the guy at the end of the episode who looked like a Bleach villain? With the glasses.
That's Shinomiya, the chef.
Okay, his name is Shinomiya. The big guy. Who
Dojima.
Is... Dojima. Oh, his name is not Shinomiya. Okay.
No.
Okay.
They are the same age.
What?
They were either in the same class or, like, one class separate.
That's
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, that sounds bullshit.
Because I thought that big guy was his dad.
No.
Wait, is it not?
No.
No.
I thought that big guy's name was Shinomiya, and this little guy was Shinomiya Jr. All right.
Okay, well, I guess we know what the episode title and picture is. Just Gin getting out of the hot tub. Never mess with me or my son again.
Perfect.
No, I'll call it Shinomiya Jr. because I really legit thought that's who that was.
No, you have to call it Shinomiya Senior, and then it's just Gin, Dojima.
Whatever.
What the heck? Okay. Anyway,
I will say that the show continues to be entertaining, and it legit made me hate this guy.
Oh yeah, this dude sucks.
Yeah, what an asshole.
Yeah, he basically forces Megumi to fail because he gives her trash ingredients, and then she's like, oh, but I have this genius plan to make it taste good. Even then, he's like, yeah, but you didn't use the recipe. And then Soma just, like, rips off his oven mitt and slaps him in the face with it and is like, pistols at dawn.
Yeah. It's time for a Shokugeki.
Yes, can he even do that? Probably not, but
no,
it'll absolutely happen anyway.
That's how this show works.
Anyway, this was the episode where I was totally in on Soma. Just the fact, it was just like the ending, it was like, did he just fucking challenge this dude to a fucking food war, even though this dude is going to cream him?
I mean, the guy's a good guy, there's no doubt. And he cares about Megumi, and in the same way that we as viewers care about Megumi, which, by the way, I care about Megumi. She's a nice girl. She deserves better than this shit. And this guy, what makes him so bad is the fact that he's doing this to this character that we like.
Wait, you like her?
She's trying so hard, and she's getting shit on by this guy. So yeah, I totally want to see Soma destroy him.
So yeah. Also, his voice is dumb and stupid, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's this show.
Okay, I know we complain about the dub every week, but oh my god. It is so frustrating to hear them be so inconsistently consistent with Japanese words. Like, they said, you want to play some Hanafuda? Like, it's Hanafuda! Oh my god! Do you not listen to the original Japanese versions of these shows?
Every day, Yuri Lowenthal gets a brain aneurysm and he doesn't know why.
It reminds me of something I saw a long time ago. Maybe it was a Fourth Kids thing or something. I don't know what it was, but like, there was some show or something where they always did that, where it was always like they just took any Japanese word and then said it in like broken English. It's so weird to see that in 2019.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think I might know the one. It might be Detective Conan, because what they used to do was, it was set in New, you know, quotation marks, New York.
It was set in the New York of Phoenix Wright's Japan America.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kansai was actually Canada, and in Canada, they had a Western accent, like from cowboys.
Why wouldn't you make New Jersey Kansai?
Because this is because that way they could go to Toronto.
Like New Jersey.
Yeah, but they actually go to, you know, there. So they have to like, oh, there's a tower there, so it'll be Canada and we'll just call it the Space Needle.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it would be like if the show said, like, and they wouldn't do this because this word wouldn't be said like that, but just like if they said Arigato, you know, or something like that. You know, and it's just like, what are you talking about? You know, what? Why are you saying it like that?
Like, this shit would have been semi-terrible in, like, the 90s when anime dubs weren't as big of a thing, but come on. In an age where Funimation, Viz, and Aniplex are doing the absolute best they can to make ensure their dubs don't get nitpicked by online people.
Look at my... Look at my traditional Japanese donut with the salmon footing.
I understand that sometimes you are making a show that is expressly targeted at kids, and they can't handle the fact of people who live in other countries.
But this is Food Wars, where we have a scene set in a steamy bathhouse, and people are playing with their boobs.
Oh, yes, they were boiling the dumplings this episode.
And to be fair, equal amounts man service as well.
Yes, they were boiling hot dogs as well.
Yeah. We get a full-on shot of Soma's butt in this episode.
Woo!
So, hey, there you go.
Anyway.
By the way, Erina ate the most refined baby foods when she was a child.
Black Clover, episode 86, Yami and Vengeance. In this episode, Yami and Vengeance beat up some dudes, and that's it.
Yay.
Siskolion appears at the end.
Yep. Knock, 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 knock. That's it.
Sonic, unless you have something, Oh, wait, you didn't watch this.
Nope.
Nope.
I don't watch Black Clover.
No one watches Black Clover. What was the episode even called?
Yami and Vengeance.
It was like their backstory. They like fought together or something.
You'd think we would remember that, given Yami's the only good character on this show.
Oh,
there were some traitors in the Magic Knights, and Yami and Vengeance fought some bandits, and here are the traitors. It's Brad and Eric.
Oh, I remember. Yes, then I remember they were competing. I'm gonna get my own squad first. Oh, I'm gonna get it. And then at the end, the Wizard King. Nobody wins. You both get a squad. So I remembered that. But yeah, nobody cares about stupid Vengeance. Somebody in the thread said that he's the manga cop based that character off another character and like admitted it.
Guts from, or well, maybe Yami is based off Gut, but Vengeance is based off Griffith, which is like, please stop telling me that he's the bad guy.
What series is that from?
Berserk.
Oh, okay.
It's Griffith from Berserk. One of the most famous anime villains of all time.
I've never read Berserk, but I do know that I think it's interesting that the mangaka is just like, people keep asking why he looks like that. Ah, it's because I just like that design. I just used it. Okay.
Anyway, Boruto. Boruto, episode 47, The Figure I Want to Be. We forgot this episode happened.
Yeah, this is going to be real fast, because I can't remember jack squat about this.
Anyway, this dude has illusions. Chikadai and Boruto fight each other for a bit. Then they kick this
Yeah, they were stuck in, like, crystals or something.
Yeah, and then Naruto comes down in his super-duper form, and it's like, this seems a bit overkill.
Yeah, it's a bit much. You could probably have done without.
Some dude grabbed a purse, and Naruto's like,
he brings out the five tails to fight like a freaking purse snatcher.
He brought out the thing comes out, and he's like, nope, I gotta go use my full power that I used to save the world against a god to fight the purse snatcher.
Also, it turns out this dude just totally faked that entire backstory.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Shocking. Anyway, I think he dies.
Wait, the kid or the guy?
Big guy. I think maybe he dies.
Did we see the body?
No, it doesn't matter.
If we didn't see the body, he's still alive.
And kid goes to jail for definitely longer than Orochimaru ever went to jail.
Orochimaru never went to jail.
Kabuto didn't go to jail. He got to run an orphanage.
This is true.
Kabuto is the main bad guy of the next show we're watching, right?
Yes. Yes, he is.
At the moment, yes.
He is the absolute pinnacle of the evil in Shippuden, and he runs an orphanage now in Boruto.
Yes. Yep. But like him and Obito are like the two big bads right now, and he just fucks off to run an orphanage and nobody bothers him. Like, he doesn't go to jail, nothing bad happens.
Who trusts their kids with him?
Naruto.
Naruto's dumb.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, they're orphans. They gotta be orphans, right? No parent is sending their kid to hang out with this guy.
Well, I mean,
send our kid to Father Snake Man.
He's a friggin' orphanage, of course.
I trust him more than any other Catholic priest.
Fair. This is fair. He will do experiments on him that will give them superpowers, but he will not sexually molest them.
Did he, like, say, I'm sorry? And then they just...
This, I think, like, the thing that happens at the end of Naruto is that Kabuto's like, hey, I'm sorry, I was an orphan.
No,
and
I'm
then,
pretty sure
and
that's
then Orochimaru
not...
was like, I'm not sorry at all, but Sasuke's hot.
Sasuke wasn't sorry either.
Sasuke just said sorry.
Yeah, that was about it. When I saw that infamous panel where he's just like, sorry.
Oh, Like, I'm sure there's some kind of like cultural thing about forgiveness that we're completely missing, but it's insane that
it's Sasuke's revenge mission got a bit out of control in the story. The ending never changed.
But he should go to jail.
He should never be that.
This little kid went to jail, and all he did was steal things.
Yeah. It's like Orochimaru kidnapped people and did experiments on them without their consent. Sasuke killed people and almost assassinated, like, how many people? And worked for the big bad. And they both do whatever they want. Orochimaru did literal war.
When I saw Orochimaru was in Boruto and just hanging out and, like, everybody's okay with it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, he is what is what?
Yeah.
There's no ramifications in this world for doing things. Yeah. Except if you steal. If you steal, then you go to jail. But, like, you know, manipulating people to kill others, that's fine. Let that slide.
Human experiments? whatever. Also, we'll let you continue them.
continue about it. We'll give you the means and resources if you want.
Here's a secret lab.
Oh, by the way, that guy who learned all your secrets, we'll just let him run an orphanage.
He's fine. He shows his skin every day.
Do they teach parcel tongue at that orphanage?
Yes.
Probably. Like, it makes no sense. How does punishment even work in this series? That one guy has a bomb and he's in a bank and, you know, he's going to blow it up and steal the money and do all kinds of horrible things.
At least the village does have good mental health care.
Well, yes, but why not for the kid?
Yeah, he just stole things.
But
he knew what he did was wrong.
This is completely ridiculous. Like, the way they mete out punishment here makes no freaking sense whatsoever.
No. Well, I mean, easy. Are you an important figure in the story? Don't go to jail.
But the guy who did, you know, the bank job didn't go to jail.
Good point.
He's completely useless.
All it takes is a good talking to.
Yeah, they could have talked to this kid. He'd be fine.
They should have talked no jutsu, and he would have been in school with Bort and everybody else.
Yeah. But like, that's where I thought this was going. No, he's going to jail instead because reasons. I'm like, you talk no jutsu literally everyone else, but no, the kid who stole things is the one that goes to jail.
Boruto's like, wait a minute. Why is he in jail? And Naruto's like, shut up, Boruto.
you didn't talk to him well enough.
So he's not even a real character. He'll never appear again.
I guess this is technically filler. But it's kind of like filler.
I truly believe that these characters will never, ever be brought up ever again.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Are you kidding me? Like, if this kid comes back up at any point in the future in the story, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think that guy with the blade in the wind arc will show up again one day, but... not this kid.
Oh, God, I hope that guy doesn't show up.
Mobile Suit Gundam. Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Episode 10, A Red Mobile Suit. In this episode, down in old Texas, some hooligans are getting up to some shit, so Sailor grabs a gun and shoots some people in the head.
Yep.
And it's pretty good.
You know what's funny? Is that not only is that colony called Texas, I was not expecting them to actually have country accents. But they do.
Look, when you sign up to live in Texas... There are things you have to do.
Yeah, and having the accents is one of them.
You have to learn how to speak in Texan.
So, I don't think you liked it, but I thought the cut of the OP was okay.
It was all right.
I think it could have been a lot worse.
I immediately saw that cut and I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they did an okay job. Any cut to that OP is a sacrilege, but it was okay.
Yeah. I will say there's times I actually forget Char isn't Char and is somebody else pretending to be Char.
Right.
Well, like, you just get so used to it. You're like, Char used to be somebody else, and then he
it's
got
like, oh, yeah.
Identity was stolen.
Char like, is actually just the identity of some dipshit.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, who the hell is this guy?
Zonic's over here like, what the fuck is going on in the show?
I know.
Yeah, he doesn't watch it's Gundam.
Like, why are they talking about Texas?
No, it's like I was reading the, like, if you've read Batman Zero Year thing, like, Joker, you know, canonically is the leader of the Red Hood gang. Except he wasn't really. The leader of the Red Hood gang was some dipshit who Joker killed and then stole his identity.
But also, it's like, until they change that, because it's comics.
Well, yeah, I mean, until they change it. But for right now, that's the thing. And I'm like, this is the exact same goddamn shit. This guy's got the same friggin' origin as Joker.
So I really liked that scene where the blonde girl in the bar just sits down and starts playing the piano and then sings.
Oh, that was cool.
It was cool. Like, it was actually legit good and kind of a nice moment. I thought it was pretty good.
You see, I've forgotten what led to that.
Well, I just know that, like, okay, so a bunch of guys... some thugs.
Oh yeah, it was like we're from the Caecilia Corps. We're here to arrest Ron Baral, and she's like, "Not you, fuck off."
Yeah, she basically tells them to get the fuck out, and then she's just like,
"They're like curses, foiled again."
Well, she's just such a badass. She doesn't put up with their garbage, and then she's just like, "All right, whatever. I'm gonna sit down and just play the piano," and she sings a song, and it's like this really cool scene. On the contrary, we got Sayla over here. Because she's, like, up to this point being kind of real demure and kind of weak. And then she sees those cars, these look like Mad Max guys, coming over the hill at them.
Love that shit.
Yeah, and then she just, like, this. You just see the expression on her face change. And she just goes from being weak to being like, all right, I've had enough of this garbage. And just literally goes, like, go grab some guns.
I'm going to grab a gun. I'm going to shoot a bunch of Mad Max people in the head.
Yeah.
She became pretty awesome in that moment.
But also, it's a bunch of dudes pick up the bed with her adopted dad in it, and he dies. And it's like, why the fuck did you do that?
Because they're stupid bad guys. And then at the very end, she starts to put together that the guy in the red mobile suit could be Char. And so she
but
sees...
Not-
Well, I don't know if she knows that Char is her brother or not. I don't think she knows.
I don't think she realizes that
I think
Char
she,
is actually
I think
Char.
It was, this dude was like, well, the secret dude was like, Castball's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know if she's put it together. But either way, she knows
I
that...
I would have put it together by now.
Yeah, maybe she has. But she just knows that Char... She knows that Char's in that red mobile suit. And Char is like... out there blowing up colonies, and he's like,
yeah,
he's like, Sayla, if you're in there, you know, if there's any good in the world, I know you're not on that colony or whatever. And then he like flies over to Texas and lands, and then she sees the red mobile suit up there, and she goes running. She's like, wait, and then he takes off, and it's like, man, her life sucks. She can't have anything go her way.
It's not great for her.
Yeah. Anyway, Zonic, you should watch Gundam The Origin. It's super good.
No, it is good.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much space politics is there?
On a scale of 1 to 10, about a 3?
Yeah, I'd go like 4.
It's the type of space politics that immediately leads into stuff blowing up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're going to do that? Okay, instead of talking it over kindly, I will explode your head.
Okay,
or fight you with a sword.
Whoops, colony drop.
After Unicorn, I think I just confirmed that.
Oh, no, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
To our surprise, this show is nothing like Unicorn, except that it looks great. But That's about the only thing it has in common. Because it's like, the characters are legit good, and the story isn't boring.
Okay, because like, even Iron Blood Orphans, I found it okay, but I, even though
well,
I
everyone was kind of like, it's okay on that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, like, I got why people liked it, but I still was just like, eh, I'm kind of zoning yeah. out. But,
I think, to me, the other reason I like Origin is because it doesn't require you to know anything about Gundam, because this is literally the beginning of the story.
And also a bunch of stuff where it's like, man, I don't know who they seem to think this character is important. It's probably a Gundam character.
Yeah. Like, no, there are no characters in this story who don't eventually become important.
But yeah. Also, Char's parents get blown up.
Yeah.
Not like Char, but like old Char.
Yeah.
The Osnables.
I don't even, like, I legitimately yeah. can't even tell if, like...
Like, actual Char's parents got blown up.
Yeah.
Not, like, fake Char.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is so confusing.
It really is. I have to keep reminding myself that this guy isn't actually Char.
He is Char. Poor old Char. Even in heaven, they're like, "You're not Char anymore. You're some
yeah.
dude."
This guy's too badass. Char. He took your identity.
You're just some schmuck now.
Yep.
Like he said, the gates with Saint Peter, and Saint Peter's like, "Okay, you are." He's like, "I'm Char Aznable." He's like, "No, no, he's not dead yet. You are some schmuck."
Anyway, Lupin. Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 13, The Bow, the Princess, and the Terrorist. In this episode, kind of a lot. So, do you want to check back in with Amy? Ami?
Yes. This was a good episode.
Yeah.
She's at boarding school, and she can't make friends because computers are her friends.
But she does make a friend.
Google, how do I make friends?
Well, you have to find somebody as weird as you, which she does.
Which is this other person over here who is carrying around a bow and arrow on school property, shooting birds.
Yes. Some kind of princess. So yeah, it's basically the boarding school adventures of Ami with the Lupin gang on the side, who are going around trying to get this, like, jewel called, like, the Bleeding Tear Jewel or the Teardrop Jewel or something like that. And, they find out that the girl that Ami has met in the school has this jewel. But at the same time, a bunch of bad guys show up, and they start murdering people at the school.
Yep.
Right.
Here are some terrorists.
I mean, there's always terrorists.
Yep.
Straight up trying to make terrorist demand videos. Basically, they're doing, like, ransom.
And then Fujiko walks in and is like, check these out! Boobs! This works somehow. Then the other Lupin gang are there, and they stop the terrorists and such.
Yeah, for the most part.
And I forgot what happened at the end of the episode.
Well, there was like this, one of the teachers ends up being an FBI agent.
Because reasons.
Because he was undercover.
And then a helicopter snuck up on the school.
The world's most quiet helicopter.
And then they strafed it.
I did like, there was like a scene early on too, I thought it was pretty great, where Zenigata's trying to get a hold of Ami. And it's like, aw, he really is Pops, you know?
No, my daughter!
But it ended on like a cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, I just can't remember what it was. Okay, I'm going to look it up.
The FBI guy grabbed the girl who was the princess. And then something happened. I can't remember what it was.
He was like,
go back to your country to save your father or something.
Hmm. Yeah, whatever. I don't even think she likes him, though.
However, one of the teachers reveals himself as McGuire, a CIA special agent. It's just Mark McGuire who's there to yell, want to see me hit some dingers? And then take some secret documents and put them in his hat. Simpsons jokes.
But is it HGH Mark McGuire or not HGH Mark McGuire?
Oh, not HGH Mark McGuire.
Okay.
Who prepares to spirit Dolma away, stating that Padar, the country of Padar, is in danger, I guess.
Anyway, I mean, yeah, it may not be like story-wise super great, but like I thought it was a really fun story. Like the characters were doing fun things, and the setting was new and interesting, and yeah.
Yep. Looks like this is going to be an arc, so. Well, anyway, that'll be about it for this episode of the Tsunami Escape Podcast.
Are we going to...
Wait.
Shit, I forgot.
So it's time to...
Oh, God. Oh, right, we're doing
everyone
that.
Needs to... Yeah, so everyone needs to pick what they think is their personal favorite episode from this evening.
I thought we were going to do MHA for a second. I was like, wait, no, that's a repeat.
Anyway, my favorite episode was Gundam. What was yours, C-Caller?
I would say this week it was Gundam.
What about you, Zonic?
I guess Lupin, but Food Wars has been a fun rewatch just because of seeing everyone's reaction.
God.
B-dubs.
I'm going with Gundam.
Gundam's been tearing up in these rankings lately for all 3 weeks they've been.
Yeah, we've only been doing the rankings for like 20 minutes.
Yes. That'll do it for this episode of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. Thank you, Zonic.
Yep.
Thank you, B-dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
And I'm tired. We'll see you guys next week for episode 17...
No, 168.
Yes.
168. You see, now that I don't have to type these numbers in, it's, you know... Anyway, good night, everyone. Later.